Today I want to talk to you from the sermon series, part two of the sermon series, Standing on the Word of God. Standing on the Word of God. We're moving a little quick up there. We're moving. Amen. Amen. Ready. They are ready. The media team is ready. We bless God for all of our visitors today. We thank God for you. We welcome you here and come back next Sunday. I'm sure the spirit will be a lot lighter. Amen. I want to talk to you from the second installation of the sermon series, Standing on the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find the Apostle Paul encouraging and warning his spiritual son, Timothy, both at the same time. We find him warning and encouraging his spiritual son, both at the same time. Paul is facing the worst of all hardships, his own impending death. So he encourages Timothy to stand strong in his faith with a reliance on the written word of God. He's about to die. He knows that he's about to die. And he is in this place of needing everyone that he's connected to understand that you're going to have to stand on the word of God. I was blessed years ago to get a phone call from my cousin, Lisa, as our uncle, her father, my uncle, was on the verge of transitioning on to glory. And she said, "Cuz, you need to get down here because daddy's not doing well." And as I made my way to Louisville from here and got there at the hospital with about 20 minutes to spare. And when I walked in the hospital room, he was on oxygen. And Lisa said, "Daddy, Stephen is here." Uncle Johnny was a critical part of my life because when I made the conversion, or when God converted me from the streets and from Islam to righteousness and Christianity, my uncle was the only person, though I sat in a church, playing a part in, at times, that church filling up, he was the only one that would allow me to preach. And all through my first months home, he was the sower in my life. And when I walked in the room and Lisa says, "Daddy Stephen's here," he said, "Take this off." And they took off the oxygen. And I said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "Yes, I know who you are. You keep doing what you're doing." And it was important to him that if he didn't say anything else to me before he left this world, he needed to encourage his nephew to continue on the good fight. For he knew what I didn't. Only a couple of years into pastoring, he had been through things that I had not thought about, things that I would not fathom at that time in my ministry. And he said, keep on doing what you're doing. And it would take some years for me to understand that there would be some things that would happen in my life as a pastor, as a minister, in the church, from the church, by the church, by the church people, that would make me want to fold up, break down, and quit. Keep on doing what you're doing. It was a state of emergency that my uncle, if I'm going to say anything in my last moments to Stephen, oh God, I've got to tell him to keep on, keep it on. And Timothy is in this, somewhat of the same situation, because Paul knows, the apostle knows, that it's about to be over. And he's telling him, listen here, you're gonna have to stand on the written word of God. He also warns his son in the gospel of a time that is coming when people, watch this, will prefer Kool-Aid over water. They will prefer Kool-Aid over water. Kool-Aid being loaded down with artificial flavoring and sugar, causing one to feel good, but really not be good. And if you have ever suffered from diabetes, or you just have an incredible thirst makeup within your body, such as I have both, you know what's needed. You know what tastes good, but you know what's needed. As a young man before the diabetes, I was always thirsty, so much so that you would always see me drinking something, some type of soda or sugary drink, and always just trying to quench my thirst. And it wasn't until I became older that I began to realize that while the pop and the sugary drinks were good to the taste buds, they lacked the power to quench my thirst. And as the power, it didn't have the power of a glass of water did. Lord have mercy. See, once you become older, a life becomes more than about just feeling good and appeasing one's flesh. And life becomes more than fulfilling your childlike desires. My grandson, with his beautiful self, he sits back there. Noah loves juice. Oh God, Noah loves juice, and he loves all the flavored drinks that's loaded down with sugar, and he does his best. He does his absolute best to stay away from water. I remember one time his mother called me laughing, and she said, Noah was asking for juice, and I told him we don't have any more. You can't have no juice, but you can have some water. And he said, no, we all out of water. We all out of water. But I need you to understand that Noah has no concept nor care about the harm that juice can cause him, nor how much water can help him. And though at times it's comical watching him trying to scheme up on more juice while trying to avoid water, it also brings back to my remembrance that played such a vital part in changing my mind, changing my thinking, and how I begin to see things. The verse can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. While I was sitting in the county jail, this was one of the verses. This is one of the very first verses that shifted everything deep down on the inside of me. And in this verse, we find the Apostle Paul saying, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Can I just go ahead and submit into the atmosphere that we need men to be men? We need grown folk to be grown folk. You understand what I'm saying to you? And we have to understand that there comes a time in your life where you are no longer allowed to operate in a childish manner, simply because you're just too old for all that. Now, as a child, Noah is supposed to want the juice more than the water. That's, he's supposed to want that, but because the juice has the sugar, the flavor, all the bad ingredients that he doesn't know nor cares about, because see, the juice just simply pleases him. Y'all ain't hearing me in here, but as he gets older, and if he keeps his desire to be an athlete, he plays all of the sports, and if he keeps his desire to be an athlete, he will have to make a decision to grow up and understand that juice will produce a false satisfaction, but juice will not sustain you. It's interesting to me the similarities between a soon-to-be four-year-old Noah and how many adult so-called believers. Noah gravitates to the juice because it pleases his taste buds. But many adult so-called saved folk gravitate to teachings and doctrines that please their flesh. And Paul said, when I was a child, you know, I spoke as a child and I understood as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became a man, I stopped looking at things the way that I used to look at them. I began to ponder things on a deeper level. I began to, you know, investigate things for myself. I just couldn't take everybody's word for it. And I don't know if you know the history of Paul, but Paul wasn't always a follower of Jesus. And so when he became a man, watch this, he had to do away with certain mindsets that he had before he had the encounter that he had with Jesus on Damascus Road. So now all of a sudden, because I'm a man, watch this, I can't consider myself saved because my grandmama was. Because I'm a man, I can't consider myself saved because people in my family was. Watch this, I can't even stay in the same churches if they ain't preaching Christ crucified, if they ain't for real about the bloodstained banner. If I can't be down with what ain't down with God no more, simply because I'm a man. This is a critical piece, because we know that the way we think about something greatly impacts our emotions and our actions. This phenomenon is not just a coincidence. It is a powerful aspect of human psychology that shapes our experiences and ultimately determines our outcomes. This is why you find Solomon, the wisest king to ever rule, to say in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, you can let a few things slide here and there, but above all else, you're gonna have to guard your mind. Listen, you can slack and lack on defense in certain areas of your life, but if you really want to be focused on how the course of your life is going to flow, you're gonna have to be careful of what you let come into your mind, what you listen to, what you take on, what you agree with, what you give time to. In fact, Paul said, give no room to the devil. Can I just go ahead and tell about 10 of you in the building today that when you begin to hear the demonic in their tone, when you begin to hear the demonic in their language, I just want to go ahead and suggest that you need to go ahead and cut the conversation off, because I've got to guard my mind, because I understand that from my mind, it my whole life will flow from my mind. If I have a baby at 19 or a baby with 25 when I'm established, from my mind, if I go to prison or if I, oh God, y'all don't hear me in here. Above all else, Paul tells them. I'm sorry, Solomon tells them, above all else, guard your mind, because they have everything to do. They have everything to do with your issues of life. Paul is saying here that his childish thoughts and understanding was a result of him being a child. He had a right to think, speak, understand as he did, but there comes a time that with age should come wisdom and knowledge that next levels your mental makeup into adulthood. Let me suggest that it's a dangerous thing to grow older in age, but not older in your mind. I really want to deal with that one right there. I really want to deal with that one. You understand what I'm saying to you? This is why we got grown men that ain't got a job, but they stay on a PlayStation 5. Yeah. Well, you got to be careful when you, you know, this is why we have grown women who's more focused on their hair than they rent. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so they'll go out and have a few drinks and feel good, but watch this, but ain't got their bills paid. There's a time that when you grow up, Lord have mercy, when you move, when you gravitate in age, when you begin to excel in age, you should begin to excel in wisdom. You should begin to excel in knowledge. And what used to make sense as a child, oh God, simply just does not make sense anymore. And watch this, can I take it deeper? You've got to be careful that when you've grown up, oh God, when you've done away with childish things, that you're so focused that you don't deal with people that still deal with childish things. Can I just go ahead and say that half of the people in the room are not where they are supposed to be, not because they don't have the talent, not because they don't have the gifting, not because they don't have the potential, but simply because they have illegally connected themselves to some people who have yet to grow up in their mind. Oh God. This is why the divorce rate is why it is, because folk ain't grown up in their mind. This is why the murder rate is the way that it is, because people have not grown up in their mind. This is why we can have 160 people one Sunday and 78 the next Sunday. Is that because the church ain't the bomb? It's simply because people have yet to grow up in their minds. And one of the things that we are seeing with many adult Christians is a soon-to-be four-year-old Noah mentality that looks for something that's pleasing but is not healthy. My grandson's looking over at me like, you say my name one more time, you better have candy money for me at the church, granddaddy. Watch this, and this is why we find Paul telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, watch this. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Did you hear that? And be turned aside to fables, things that just ain't real. But you be watchful. This is Paul telling his son Timothy. But you, Timothy, you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Can I just go ahead and tell about 20 of you in the room today that the reason that things aren't working out quite the way you thought they would work out is because you have not been doing your job in the ministry. God didn't save you for you to be cute. God didn't save you for you to find something else to almost kill yourself in. God saved you so that you could do what it is that he called you to do. Lord have mercy. But I like how the New Living Translation puts it. The New Living Translation puts it this way as well. He says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind, Timothy. You should keep a clear mind in every situation. Did you hear that, beloved? You should keep a clear mind in every situation. Can I just go ahead and bless somebody in here today that's in relationship issues? The way that you gonna actually keep your mind clear is to keep your body sacred. Can I just go ahead and bless about five women in the building and tell you straight up that when you allow the physicality to play a part, you begin to lose your mind. This is why some of you take things that you wouldn't have normally took. This is why you look at yourself sometimes in the mirror and you ask yourselves, what is wrong with you? Because when you are dealing with things that's going to critically affect your life, you've got to have a clear mind. I was at Vision Works the other day, and the young lady told me, she said, I'm going on a date, Pastor. I'm going on a date, and I'm excited. She said, and my friends asked me, you think I should have a couple of drinks? You think I should have a couple of drinks? It's our first date. And I said, no, baby, you can't have no drinks. She said, Pastor, why not? I said, cause girl, you got to watch for the bull crap. You got to have your bull crap sensor on. You got to have your representative sensor on. You got to know that you know that you know when he's lying. You got to know that you know when he's playing the game. And if you are impaired, you are hurt.
hurting yourself before you even get started. You have to clear your mind. Don't be afraid, he says, of the suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Now, I want you to understand that there is a difference between the suffering that Paul is talking about and the suffering that the 21st century westernized church, has an understanding of. Paul was saying, listen, they gonna put their hands on you. Listen, they gonna lock you up. Listen, they gonna call you out your name. They gonna dog you out. You're gonna deal with physical abuse like you never thought before for no reason at all, but other than you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem or the contrast between that believer back then and the believer right now is we deem suffering as, oh God, I'm coming to church and he's mad. I'm coming to church and she don't like it. I'm trying to get myself together and I won't be able to get myself together until God blesses me with the boo or the bay. You understand what I'm saying to you? Our suffering has nothing to do with the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and we want to set back and equate. This is why I had a problem with Black Lives Matter, because they wanted to say that if you're fighting for homosexual rights, then you are, it's just like civil rights. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. And I got a problem with church folk who want to sit back and act like their struggles is because of Satan. Baby, all your struggles ain't because of Satan. Some of your struggles is because you refuse to listen. Some of your struggles is because you did what you wanted to when you knew you wasn't supposed to do it in the first place. There's a difference between a consequence and a test. God will give you a test to allow you to see where you are and what you need to work on and what you need to do and who is who in your life. But a consequence comes on the strength of you knowing the right thing but doing the wrong thing, all because you wanted to please your flesh. Can I just go ahead and be real about it? Until we, Lord have mercy, grow up, until we put away childish things, until the Bible becomes the thing in your life that when it says it, it settles it. Until we get that mentality, I don't care how good the loving is. I don't care how good you can cook. I don't care how many degrees you got. I don't care how much money in your bank. You're going to always find yourself broken, busted up, disgusted, disgruntled, depressed, on the verge of suicide, on the brink of giving up. You're going to always be going through hell. And I think it's important to remind you of, do you remember when they had the 5,000 people and all they had was two small fish and five loaves of barley bread, and Jesus and the disciples said, what we gonna do? How we gonna feed such great people with such small money and such small provision? And Jesus just began to command them on what to do, put them in rows of 50s to 100s, and then he broke the bread, and then he blessed the bread. And then everybody got fed. And the Bible tells us that there was 12 baskets. There was 12 baskets of food left over, fish left over. Watch this. But in the very next chapter, in the King James Version, it says that Jesus constrained them to get on the boat. In the New King James Version, it says Jesus made them get on the boat. Pastor Sonia, you know like I know that constrained and made is angry words. Get on the boat. Sick of dealing with y'all. You know why he told them to get on the boat? Watch this. And they got on the boat, and as they begin to go over, but Jesus didn't go with them. Oh God, Jesus didn't go. I don't even want to ride with you. Get on the boat. They get on the boat and they begin to cross over, and the Bible tells us that there is a storm, and the storm is boisterous. It says the storm is off the hook, and you know it had to be off the hook because we're talking about professional fishermen. And the professional fishermen, the disciples, they were spooked. They were afraid. They were crying, oh God, help us, help us. And Jesus begins to come through the storm. Oh God. He begins to come through the storm, and he says, be of good cheer because I am here. And Peter says something like this. He says, if it be you, Lord, bid me to come out on the water. And Jesus said, come. Can I just go ahead and stop right there before y'all get excited about Peter walking on the water? The reason why the storm came, the reason why he told him to get on the boat and then a storm came, and this might bless about five of you in here today, is that until you begin to operate in faith, until you begin to operate in Jesus, you will get delivered from one thing just to have to go through another one. Is it anybody in the building that's tired of having to get on the boat? Simply because you will not believe that God is God. Yeah, I thought y'all be quiet on that one. I knew you'd be quiet on that one. You ain't gonna tell the truth about it. Listen, Paul says to his young protege, listen, there's going to come a time when people are going to ignore us, not be with what it is that we're talking about anymore. And it won't be because we're not telling the truth. That ain't going to be the reason. They are going to stop listening to us because they like the enemy's gospel better. Oh, Lord. It's hot in here. They like the enemy's gospel better. And I know that some of you might not have known that the enemy has a gospel of his own, but I promise you that he does. It's not the truth, but it is self-gratifying. It's not real, but it is real convenient. It won't keep you when hell hits, but it will keep you going through hell. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8, the same Apostle Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you other than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Oh, God. Can I just go ahead and I want to break that thing down in the Message Bible. And it says, let me be blunt. Oh, let me be blunt. If one of us, even if an angel from heaven were to preach something other than what we preached originally, let him be cursed. Then he goes on to says, I said it once and I'll say it again. If anyone, regardless of reputation or credentials, preaches something other than what you received originally, let him be accursed. Did you catch that? It doesn't matter what seminary that you studied at. It doesn't matter how long you sat in jail and got religious. It doesn't matter how successful they are. If they are preaching anything other than what the apostles taught, other than what Jesus taught, then let them be accursed. How can you say, Pastor, that there's another gospel? If there's only one God, how can there be another gospel? Well, there's not. There is a God of righteousness and there is a God of darkness. There is a God, there is a kingdom of righteousness. There is a kingdom of light and there is a kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom of God and there is a kingdom of Satan. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you want to know what the gospel of the enemy is? The gospel of the enemy is everything that is contrary to the word of God. God said, until you got a ring on it, let me just go ahead and pull the plug on the boat right now? Maybe the ring don't mean nothing. I'm gonna need your last name. Before you get I'm gonna need your last name. I tell y'all all the time of the story of the cupid zirconias. I used to buy them 10 in a pack. I used to buy them from a guy that used to come to the plaza. We would buy them, you know, in bulk because we had plenty of women. And every time that somebody was getting ready to get to the point to where they was tired of me, I'd say something like this. It wouldn't matter where I was. I would pull the car over and say, listen, I've got a lot going on my mind, but I bought this for you, and I just want you to be my wife. And all of a sudden, everything was all right. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Baby, don't get excited about the proposal. Get excited about the position. Oh, God. Woo! Get excited about the name change. It's when your name changed, we talking about something. You understand? Oh, God, y'all don't hear me in here. There is another gospel that says, why would you wait until you married? What if you don't like it? What if it ain't what you need? What if it ain't satisfying? But the truth be told is, if you'd have never broke the rules in the first place, you wouldn't have had nothing to compare nothing. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me in here. And so now you trying to get out of Rhonda what you got out of Shonda, but Rhonda ain't built like that, and now you're trying to get out of Jesse what you got out of Paul, but Paul don't get down like that. And now Paul love you, but he can't do what Jesse did, and you wouldn't be concerned about what Jesse did had you kept the will of God. You're gonna have to keep your mind clear because there is another gospel. It's the gospel of darkness, and I promise you, it's so deceitful that's why the churches ain't full. That's why when you're preaching real doctrine, when you're preaching real Jesus, when you're preaching real Bible, people stay away from you because See, can I just go ahead and be real? This is why we got more women than we got men. Oh, God. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. See, because you can't come to this church not wanting to do the right thing by your woman, because we believe in empowering. Mm-hmm. Not just women. Your men can be empowering. power too if they want to. That's why you've seen the same men in this church that's been in this church because they playing fair ball. They 100 about what it is that they after. They ain't playing no games. But it's hard to sit down in the Unity Worship Center if you ain't going to treat your boo-boo right. It's hard to sit down in the Unity Worship Center if you ain't going to treat your man right. It's hard to sit down in this ministry, oh God, if you're not going to live right. We have an expectation that you stand on God's word. Not your emotions, not how you feel about it. You don't even have to like me. I don't care to like if you like me or not. I'm just caring that you make it to heaven. You understand? Truth be told, you should hate my guts in the flesh. Nothing that I say should your flesh agree with. And if you walk up to me after this sermon talking about, you sure did preach, that was a good word right there, then baby, I ain't done my job. I want you to have to limp out of here because I stepped all over your toes in order to not have to step over your grave. The Message Bible, Eugene Peterson says, let me be blunt. Let me put it where the rubber hits the road. Let me just be all the way real about this. If any one of us, any one of us, if myself, First Lady, Pastor Sonia, Pastor Larissa, you understand what I'm saying to you? If any of us, if any of us, Pastor Sherry, if any of us teach you anything other than what is in the word of God, run for us, run. Run for us, run. Run. We done lost our mind. Run. But if you know that you are getting the word, oh God, stop looking for sugar. Stop looking for the cut. You wanted the raw out there in the streets, you ought to want it here in the church. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me in here. Now we get to church, we can put a little cut on it. Now we in church, we can put a little blow up on it. Now we in church, it ain't got to be all the way A1. But because, you know, I like an A3 because it don't call for much responsibility, but the devil is a lie. If God died the way he died on the strength of your sins, for your sins, then you ought to be willing and ready to give God everything. 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 When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. Listen, real quickly, Whitney, put my Timothy back up there for me real quick, please. I want you to get this. I want you to get this because this is the reason. Because we had some haters on the internet. That's how you know you're doing something, when people talk about you. And they talk about you and you don't even know. And people got to tell you that they talked about you. And they said some stuff like, what's the problem with Unity that it's not growing? I'll tell you the good problem it is. Yeah, this is a good problem. I believe when politicians said this is good trouble, we preach the word around here. We got an old school way of doing things. You missed too many times. I'm on your phone. Ain't that right? I'm on your phone. You missed. I don't call nobody. I have nobody call you. I'm going to call you myself. We old school preach around here. We old school church around here. And that's the problem, because it says there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. How you gonna want a shepherd that don't look out for you? You just supposed to preach. You just supposed to pray. You ain't supposed to be worried about my life. The devil is a lie. That's because you're so connected and conditioned to pimps. That when you deal with a pastor, He bothers you. He bothers you. You know, Y'all think I don't be knowing when y'all done blocked me on Facebook. When y'all said stuff that I, and here's, And I had to find out that you could block me and keep me as a friend. And when I found that out, I was like, oh, look at you right here. Or they say something like, when I go to look at it, it says this content right here is trying to be kept back from the person, you know, because, and all that says to me is, Pastor, they're hiding this one from you. They wanted to say it, but they didn't want you to see it. Oh, y'all. There will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Yeah. Now, beloved, here's where the teaching starts. We're almost done. Be careful about your own desires. You have to ask yourself, do my desires, my personal desires, line up with the word of God? Listen. Listen to me. I want everybody to catch this. If your desires do not line up with God's desires, then your desires is going to be disastrous. How many of you have had your own desires before? And how many of you operated in your own desires? How did that work out for you? But can I show you something crazy? The definition of insanity is what? And even though it didn't work out for you, after it almost killed you, how many of you found out you still had some desires? And even though it was tumultuous last time, you still acted on your desires again. This would be okay if you did not know. Oh, God. But we have a word of God. We have a Bible. We have a book. My wife likes to call it basic instructions before leaving earth. We have instructions on telling us how we never have to lose again. Now, see, that's the hit right there. That should have caught your attention. You never have to lose again. Again, hold on, Pastor. That's a pretty big order right there. No, baby, you never have to lose again. How can you say that you got the antidote that we never have to lose in life again? Baby, because you've got the antidote that will stop you from ever losing in life again. And that is the word of God. And listen, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how cute you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how you think you got it going on. I don't care what your credit score is. I don't care what your bank account is. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. Until you make the word of God your whole life, you're gonna suffer, you're gonna struggle, you're gonna deal with crazy stuff, madness all the time. It ain't gonna never make sense. And the question becomes, why would you keep doing what ain't been working for you? Why would you continue to do what doesn't work for you? But when you watch the people that do it, it's working for them. 1 + 1. Curry the one. It's 2, man. Operating in righteousness produces a life that God intended for you. And everything else is failure. Listen to me, beloved. If you are not walking or living the life that God intended for you to live, to walk in, that means you ain't operating in your purpose. And if you ain't operating in your purpose, you'll never reach your destiny. That means that you know the most tragic thing that can ever happen is that you leave this earth not operating in your purpose. That you leave this earth not fulfilling your destiny. He says there's going to come some times. He says, and watch this, because of their own desires, but they having itching ears. Itching ears simply means this: you hear what you want to hear. And the problem is, we got churches all over town that'll tell you just what you want to hear, that'll hoop you into a frenzy. Just gonna tell you blessed no matter what the hell you're going through. You understand what I'm saying to you? No matter what hell is in your life, you blessed. You got it going on. You about to next level. You're reaching higher heights. The devil is a lie. And this is who you allow to stand over your life. This is who you allow to preach and speak into your children. People that is afraid that if they don't appease you, you won't bless the plate. He says, so there's going to be some people that's going to tell you just what you want to hear so that you'll do just what they need you to do. They don't love you. They don't care about you. It's a false doctrine that's going to send you to the pits of hell. But at least you help keep the church open. And the Bible says, and they will turn aside. They will turn their ears away from the truth. And this is why some of you have been coming to this church and all of a sudden people that you used to be cool with, you ain't quite as cool with anymore. Because you leave here and you see what we preach about. You see what we talk about. And it doesn't set well with you. And now all of a sudden you're saying stuff like, you know, I ain't trying to be judgmental or nothing, but maybe you might want to go to church. Yeah. I do go to church. No, that might be the problem. Maybe you want to come to my church. And then all of a sudden now, folk ain't texting you back. They don't call you back as much as they used to. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's because you are the truth. And some of you think that people don't want to be bothered with you. No, baby, they don't want to be bothered with the truth in you. And you've been minimizing your own self-worth on the strength of somebody else that's looking for an easy way to live life. You understand what I'm saying to you? But God says, for until you get to the mentality of for him you live and for him you die, it's going to always be crazy. Endure the afflictions. 21st century westernized church, ain't nobody putting their hands on you because you saved. So they endure the afflictions. What's the afflictions? When they walk away, endure it. Don't dummy down with your Holy Ghost because people can't take the new you, the new you that's in Christ. Endure the afflictions. Endure when they talk about you behind your back, but they loved you last week. Endure the afflictions. Endure the afflictions. Don't take it personal when they don't invite you. When they don't spread the good news with you, you got to learn what's personal on Facebook. Endure the afflictions, but continue to walk the walk and fight the good fight and stand on the word of God, regardless to who it is that comes up against you. Going through it don't always mean you're in a bad season. Sometimes you're going through it as the separation process. And some of you need to go ahead and receive that you're in your separation process. And it ain't nothing wrong with you. You ain't got to change your hair. You ain't got to lose no weight. You ain't got to drive a different car. You ain't got to. It's, baby, you got to. What you do have to do is let them go. Yeah, some of you, because can I just go ahead and bless you when I'm done? Some of you will never have what it is that God has for you as long as you are connected to the people that you are. Every time I turn around, I'm going through something. Check your surroundings. What's hindering you? What's hindering you from being the you in God? Oh, Lord, have mercy. The Lord says, young woman of God, it don't got to hurt no more. All your life suffering, hell and pain, and things that just was not fair. God said, I brought the Mortons here to bring AJ here, to bring you here. Because I want to shift everything that's going on in your life. He says, you're too young to have lost your dream. And I built you with a dream. Yeah. Take this seriously. You hear me, man of God? Take this seriously. And the thing about it is, see, I know you do. Despite what else you do, I know that you do take this seriously. This is, if you don't do nothing else, I'm pretty sure last week was kind of a throw off for you when you didn't enter the house. So you understand what I'm saying to you? See, you are called here, not by the bishop, not by the church, but by the Spirit of the Lord. So if the Spirit of the Lord is calling you guys here, it means that he has something for you. Mercy. And we got to get to the point to where we stop when we say things like, God has something for you, that you start thinking about your house, your car, your money, your boo, your bae. The main thing that God has for you is him. But with him comes provision. With him comes direction. With him comes a you can't go wrong guarantee. And the sad part about this is why I want you to tap into this, young woman of God, young man of God. The sad part about this guarantee is that the majority of the people in this building have not taken him up on it. We can shout, we can scream, we can holler. But many of us have not taken him up on that guarantee. And let me just go ahead and say this. You're too young to keep suffering. You got a whole lot of life to live, God willing. Don't live it suffering. It ain't worked out. It ain't been for y'all. It ain't y'all's friends. They ain't y'all's friends. They ain't down for y'all. It don't never come back the way it's supposed to. It don't shake back the way it's supposed to. But I know a man that when he gives you his word and when you give him your word, he will love you through. He will love you through. He will love you through. Don't you, Malaysia, don't you change. Amen. Don't you change. Though the world is trying their best to change you, don't you change. Though sometimes you feel like you don't even fit in. Sometimes you feel awkward. Sometimes you feel like, you know, what is wrong with me? The Lord told me to tell you this morning, there is nothing wrong with you. He says, and as long as you continue to follow me, everything that I desire for you shall come to pass. Yeah. Don't you change. Don't you change. Don't you change. You keep what's sacred, sacred. You hear me? Don't you go for the okie doke. Don't you go for the foolishness. They don't mean you no good. You hear me? Yeah, yeah. There's stock. You know what that means? There's value in you being you. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if there's, and I'm going to need the prayer warriors today to, I'm going to need the pastors to help today, because I'm going to need you to help. If there's anybody in the building that desires to give their life to Jesus, we offer you the invitation to come forward. Now listen, we're changing some things up around here. The expectation is getting greater for you to be in your word. See, because why go to the doctor if you ain't gonna take the medicine? Why come to church if you ain't gonna apply what you heard? Why come if you ain't gonna apply what you heard? And I need you to understand this, because we was taught wrong. A lot of us was taught wrong. God's not just gonna do it. Boom. Sin is gone. I'm feeling saved in this piece. That is not how he gets down. That wouldn't be free will. If you have a desire to be saved, and you know that this is a Bible-based church, and you know that once you get saved, you're going to learn the word if you want to learn the word, we offer you the invitation to come on down. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many times you done got saved before. Today, we're talking about this is going to be the real deal. Today, this is the day that you've made up in your mind that life will never be the same. Now, ain't no volcanoes going to roar. Ain't no mountains going to roar. Volcanoes ain't going to erupt. None of that's going to happen. But what's going to happen in heaven is he is going to release his love upon you. He is going to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You understand what I'm saying to you? What happens is you get a brand new beginning today. And here's what's so awesome about God. This is what I love about God, is that he don't expect you to come down here and give your life to him and then years change overnight. Just like that, you quoting scripture, and just like that, you and all, just like that, you just ready to be on fire. He don't expect that, because the Bible says that he came down here and was tempted by every sin, but oh God. He knows that this ain't the easiest transformation in the world to make. He knows that you're going to fall and bump your head a few times. But the reality is, what he's saying is, but keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep being determined. Keep on trusting me. Keep having faith in me. Keep on loving me. And I promise you, those falls will become less and less. I promise you, that bumping of the head, the gash won't be as big as it used to be the first couple of times. I promise you that over time, you will mature into who it is that I called you to be. You don't have to worry about this ain't one and done. I mess up and it's over. But if you really, 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 really want to give your life to Jesus, really, 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 really want to give your life to Jesus, really, 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 really want to give your life to Jesus, we offer, hey, Lord, have mercy. We offer you the invitation to come on down.